This is Vixen Violette, Los Angeles Burdell's dancer, warning you, careful what you listen to, because Chris and Lily of the Burlesque Podcast, they'll pollute your minds.
So you haven't heard of Gravy Train before just now?
No, actually I did. I actually had heard of Gravy Train, but I don't have any close personal connection or anything like that with them like you do.
Well, you do, actually.
I do?
You have me as a close personal connection.
So I have 2 degrees of separation.
That's right. we interviewed them like a couple of years ago in NoFi Magazine, and they actually, Quinn, who by the way asked if I ever mentioned him on the show, like a girlfriend, and I said, well, I hadn't, I'm sorry. And he's like, oh. And so, yeah, Quinn did the interview with Gravy Train. He's a great guy, and they used that interview in their DVD, which I'm very proud of.
Very cool, very cool.
And they sing about boobies.
And that, the name of the song is?
Titties Bounce.
Titties Bounce.
Of course, I have to ask me to name that.
I am sitting here with Chris NoFi, and where we are talking about, we interviewed it for, is for NoFi Magazine, correct?
Mm-hmm.
So, and that's at NoFiMagazine.com.
Mm-hmm.
I myself am Lily Von Stupp. And I am from burlesque411.com.
I am Chris Beyond, and I'm from nofimagazine.com.
And now that we've got titties bouncing,
yes,
we'll fix that in post too.
Okay.
So yes, so you are listening to the Burlesque Podcast, and we are talking about titties today because titties are very, very important.
They are actually.
Most of us prefer to call them breasts, but I was from the '80s, so titties was pretty much what we had down there. And in Florida, the titties was, you know, the white trash thing too. So
I'm from the hood, and so we call them breasties.
Breasties. Breasties,
no,
as opposed to...
I didn't.
You're
call
just
them that.
Lying
I am
now.
Lying. I'm sorry.
Well, we have a really cool guest with us today because this guest not only knows about titties and boobies, but she also knows a ton about burlesque. We have Laura Herbert with us, and she toils for Exotic World and the Burlesque Hall of Fame, which is what it's now called?
Yep, we're the Burlesque Hall of Fame, formerly known as Exotic World.
Absolutely.
Or Exotic World : Burlesque Hall of Fame, now just Burlesque Hall of Fame.
I've seen her toiling first person, just so you know.
Oh, I think everybody has.
and that goes for both of you.
Actually, oh, thank you.
Chris was definitely there for one of my great composure breaches during Exotic World weekend, which is, you know, the big shush. And I just want to quickly throw in that I have always been partial to boobs myself. I mean, as a word, as a term.
I have heard you say boobs, and I just said I 3 times because it's all about me.
That's true.
No,
or your parrot.
I have heard you say boobs, and I don't think I've ever heard you say titty.
I'm not a titty person. I mean, like, I like boobs. Breasts to me is like saying vagina. Like,
yeah, it's
just
very...
like,
technical,
you know,
kind
boobs
of.
Boobs is kind of like cartoony, and I tend to thinking cartoons. So boobs are like, you know, breasts everybody has, but boobs really just chicks and like drag queens, I think, you know?
I have to agree. Like I would actually call the other word the T word, because it's something that wouldn't really come out of my mouth.
Word. So we'd have the T word up top and the C word down bottom, and you don't like either of them.
No, that's true.
You know,
actually, I could
no
never
really,
say the C word ever.
There is no really dirty word for boobs like there is the C word.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of them that are kind of gross, but not, you know, I mean, fun bags to
or
me doesn't
ridiculous.
Really sound exciting.
And the C word we're talking about to our listeners is chocolate.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's
chocolate
really
down
bad
below.
For us.
But as a lover of language, I just thought I'd point that out, because it is kind of weird that there's no really like sort of shudderingly derogative word for boobs.
I don't know. We'll have to like
maybe by the end of the show.
Yeah, someone will call in with someone. Maybe email.
We could have one by the end of the show. You're absolutely right. Well, you can find Laura and the Burlesque Hall of Fame over at burlesquehall.com, and
which looks amazing.
The new site is gorgeous.
Thank you. We hope to have the actual new site up eventually, hopefully in the next month or so. You know, we've been kind of doing a lot of work getting ready for Breast Cancer Awareness Month, which starts October 1st. And then we're going to kick into gear a little bit early on the 2008 Miss Exotic World pageant.
Woo!
So there'll be lots of news coming out soon. And, you know, check our MySpace page and our website. MySpace is actually the easiest thing to update, so it's always a good place to check out.
Mm-hmm. And is that Burlesque Hall?
It's actually still myspace.com/exoticworld.
Exotic World still.
And there's also, I'll let you guys talk about, you know, what we're up to with the Breast Defense Project as well, but there's a page specifically for that.
Okay. Well, the reason that I asked you to be on the show this time, and this was really my, oh my God, we have to have her on about this, was I got an email from you saying that you're working with the Keep Abreast Foundation, and you were wondering if we'd be interested in doing a show and having some of the proceeds go towards the Keep Abreast Foundation, which prints self-exam and basically does a lot of awareness for breast cancer, which is something that's always been very close to my heart because I've had friends who have had it and suffered from it and not done very well with it, have actually passed away. So it's always been a very important thing for me on our radio show. We always do a lot of PSAs for breast cancer awareness as well. So go ahead and tell me a little bit about what you're doing with the Keep Abreast Foundation.
Well, first and foremost, I mean, just to tell you guys a little bit about Keep Abreast in general, I found out about Keep Abreast, I think maybe even through Juxtapose magazine, and it was started by two young women who are sort of, as near as I can tell, I guess they're kind of like extreme sports enthusiasts, but they're both in sort of the action sportswear industry, and the one who is the executive director, who a lot of people met at Exotic World this year, is Shaney Jo Darden, and she's just a fucking remarkable punk rock chick Southern California. And she, you know, was just really, she, you know, moved to do something for breast cancer awareness. And it's funny because when we first started talking, you know, I was really interested in what she does because the way that they raise money and raise awareness is they cast women basically from just above their waist to just over their boobs, kind of like a plaster version of a longline bra.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have the cast painted, and they auction them off to raise money. And their tag is sort of like action, awareness, and another A.
It's actually art, education, awareness, and action.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I think it's a brilliant concept. I think that it brings together the art people, it brings together the fundraising people, and it is a great way to raise awareness. Because you get to have boobies, and I mean, you know,
totally.
if you're gonna raise money for cancer, for breast cancer, why not do it in the most fun, fantastic ways you can? So, I'm really impressed with it. Now, at Exotic World last year in 2007, actually it was this year in 2007, you had Juliette Lesmuse's cast done, Margaret Cho, and Kitten Atavadad, right?
They actually the girls from Keep Abreast. I should probably call them women, but I'm a woman, so I can say girls. The ladies from Keep Abreast, actually two of them, Erica and Shaney, came out, and they had a video crew and a photo crew, and they basically set up in a suite at Binion's, and they cast their little hands off all weekend. I think they cast 48 women.
Wow.
And the only reason they stopped is because they ran out of plaster.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I hung out with Desiree after Desiree D'Amour.
Was she done?
Yeah, she was done.
Oh, fantastic.
And, we were there in the morning. She was like just picking plaster off everywhere.
I definitely had some magical moments with that. Like, it was really funny. I actually had kind of like a misty-eyed moment with my mom, who some people who have been out probably know, or they may not even know that she's my mom, but my mom is sort of part of Team Exotic World, and this was her sixth year, and she does all of our, you know, PR, and she's a photographer. And the first, actually, this is sort of a little bit of unnecessary bio about me, but my first published article was an interview with Tara Satana in Bust magazine in like 1990-something. I don't know.
Wow, that's fantastic.
Yeah, and it was like 100 years ago. And there was sort of like a full circle thing for me in that I met Tara, or I was able to interview Tara because of Torchy Taboo, who was then writing for Tease magazine in Georgia. And so I had this moment, my mom was taking pictures while Tara was getting cast, and I was helping her, you know, wipe off the plaster from her back, and she's kind of showing me, of course, amazing touristy Santa geography, where she's pointing out like where she was shot and all these
crazy
cars. And my mom was just all like, I looked over her and her eyes were all like, you know, watery and weepy, and I was like, are you okay? And she's like, it's just so nice that like you grew up idolizing this woman and you are sharing this tender moment. And I was just like, then I'm like getting all weepy, and Tara's like, and then here's where someone stabbed me, you know. And it was like, I'm like, how on earth? Like, that's the magic of burlesque to me, that somehow I got from being like, ah, Varla, to like, like, here, hold that boob, I'll get the plaster, you know?
That's, it is an amazing
it's
thing.
It's like calling a taxi.
Yeah.
Hold that boob.
It's pretty, I mean, like, you know, that's, I have to say, you know, for all the people who are like, why do they do it? You know, it's like, there's definitely the moments with, you know, some of the people in our lives and the opportunities that we've had. I mean, anecdotally alone, like, we may not be, you know, retiring anytime soon, but we are certainly anecdotally wealthy from our labor of love here. But back to Keep Abreast, you know, I was thinking about, I don't know if you guys remember, but sometime maybe in 2006, there was a story that got picked up by all the wires of a group of Canadian strippers who had raised money and wanted to give it to a breast cancer foundation,
yep.
and they were turned down.
Yep, I remember. We talked about it on the radio show that I used to work for.
Yeah, and that made me insane. Like, I was crazed because it's like, first of all, who are boobs more, like, it's your business when you're a burlesque performer
Absolutely.
To have your breasts be healthy or the appearance of breast health, and to be further marginalized by, you know, by an organization that's devoted to breast health. And that's when I sort of was thinking about how we needed to do something that would benefit breast cancer and that would work out, you know, with sort of our mission and finding something with a similar mission. And, you know, I connected with Shaney and I kind of pitched her this crazy letter that I figured, you know, was just crazy enough that either they would love it or hate it. You know, and she got it right away and really understood the importance of not just breast to burlesque performers, but to, you know, the idea of art and having sort
Absolutely,
of pin-up
yeah.
and lowbrow artists illustrate, you know, painting the boobs of burlesque performers and sort of like, you know, our boobs are our business and making it something really beautiful for something, especially, you know, as a lot, Kit Natividad was really the first person I contacted because she had a very public fight with breast cancer,
yep.
you know, and having been a survivor who'd had a double mastectomy, you know, it was like so amazing. And the response that we got from both people wanting to be cast and artists was just overwhelming.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to it. I want to do it, and I just think it's one of those things that it's cool in so many ways because you're helping out a good cause and you're doing something that is so personal, and yet you're doing it so public by saying, here, this is exactly what they are, and you put them out there. And I just
yeah.
think it's a fascinating thing.
I mean, the stuff that they do, I mean, they've done, you know, a lot of casts of survivors and people.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's really interesting. I mean, I think that it's so neat to see the way, I mean, like, of course, it's sort of like everybody's been affected by breast in one way or another.
Oh, yeah.
It was hard not to, like, snigger when you said that, you know, like, breast cancer is close to your heart. It's like our boobs are over all of our heart.
Absolutely.
You know? But I just think that, you know, they've been really amazing. I'm really excited. I mean, it's, you know, one of the things is that the show that they're doing, the sort of project we're working on with Keep Abreast, the sort of formal name of it is, it's Breast Defense Glamour Girls for Early Detection, because one of the early
Beautiful.
Conversations, thank you, that I had with Shaney, you know, because I came at her from sort of like a very tra-la-la sort of, with all due respect, but like a Susan G. Komen kind of pink ribbon
yep.
race for the cure kind of thing. And she was like, yeah, you know what? Like, we don't give money to research. Research is really funded. I don't know if I believe in a cure, but we're all about prevention. And
yep.
that really got me because, of course, you know, the best defense is a strong offense.
Absolutely.
And, you know, when put that way, I was like, wow, you know, if you got more women, like, feeling their boobs, there'd be significantly lower, I mean, higher survival rates and less breast cancer incidences. So they do these kind of rock and roll, you know, they make merch, and they, right now, like, all summer they were on tour with the Warped Tour,
yeah.
and they're on the Roxy Pro Jam right now.
There's some incredible stuff on their website from the Warped Tour, and that's at keepabreast.org, and there's dashes in there, so it's
mm-hmm.
K-E-E-P dash, the letter A, dash, B-R-E-S-T.org.
And they're also on MySpace as well, which
yeah.
gets updated a little bit more easily, and that's just at myspace.com/keepabreast, I believe, or maybe even myspace.com/cab, K-A-B. And you can also find out about the project Breast Defense. We're at myspace.com, like everybody
mm-hmm.
else in the world, /breast defense. And it's been really amazing. Shaney's actually going down to Florida for the first weekend in October. There's a show of the first group of casts that have been done that's premiering. It's in St. Augustine, Florida, at a gallery
oh.
called the Gallery at Screen Arts. I think that's screenarts.com, but I can kind of email you guys the information later. But we'll be up, of course, with Dixie at Teaserama
mm-hmm.
for that first weekend. And, you know, we were hoping to get Shaney or Erica up there in San Francisco so that we could cast more people. But there'll definitely be additional castings that we'll get information out. We're going to try to do one in New York for sure, one in L.A. for sure. There might be one in Seattle as well, because the
awesome.
Big show won't be until June to coincide with Miss Exotic World 2008. So for like about 2 weeks before and 4 weeks after, there'll be a show, a gallery show of all of the cast.
Oh, that is fantastic.
Yeah, and then they'll all be auctioned off in the end of June with the proceeds split between the Burlesque Hall of Fame and Keep Abreast. So it's been super exciting. I mean, the artists who are participating are insane.
Oh, they're fantastic. I saw a couple photos online from one that was done in Hawaii, and I just sat there going, it's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. The artwork on top of it is just incredible.
I just saw, actually, the artist who's doing Kit Natividad's bust just emailed me the finished photos today. And there's a picture. It's Scott Ewalt, who you guys may know from as the DJ from the Sunday Pool Party at Exotic mm-hmm. World for the last 2 years. And he did an incredible decoupage of all of these old sort of, you know, burlesque ads and photos of Kitten and Ross.
Oh, so cool.
Oh, I want to do one of these.
All around her waist are little, you know, they're like perfectly cut out women with kitten heads on them. Like, it's all these really hot sort of burlesque bodies with actual little kitten faces.
I know already my significant other is going, you are not allowed to buy this because I know that you will spend a fortune on it. But you know what? I think he'll support me if I bid on it.
Well, that's one thing. It's funny that Luke and I have had this big discussion about how, like, soliciting the art is not the same as owning the art.
Yeah.
And how hard it's going to be to be like, ooh, ooh. I mean, they're really...
Yeah, you're going to want them all.
I know.
It's incredible.
But the idea of, you know, getting it out, getting the message
yep.
out, and really getting people to be excited about it is huge. And, of course, you know, we're going to do all kinds of merch, and hopefully we'll be able to pull together a catalog for the show so that people who can't afford the boobs could at least, you know, have a memento.
Absolutely. That would be cool. That would be very, very cool.
Yeah. So it's been really exciting, you know, and Dixie was cast and Tempest Storm. And, I mean, literally, like, I only wish that we had had more time and more plaster, because it would be so great to really, I mean, pretty much basically we didn't want to turn anybody down who
mm-hmm.
wanted to be cast. And, you know, of course, you know, our emphasis during that weekend is always to get the older women, sort of the vintage vixens, because
absolutely.
We only have them for such a short period of time. And I was so amazed at how many women were willing to be cast, because, I mean, I know a lot of young girls who are like, forget it, I don't want to take my boobs out of my corset or my bra, you know. But then you get, you know, it was pretty awesome. And they're actually miracle workers. They can make a bra out of plaster strips, and everybody's boobs look great.
Oh, oh, I like that. That even makes me happier.
I know, right?
Did you get yours done?
I didn't, but I'm not a performer, so, you know.
You're very important to the scene, Laura.
You are one of the most... You are probably one of the most VIP people in burlesque that I know.
I am a flatterer.
Oh, well,
so
you know, I'm very susceptible to flattery, but at the same time, you know, you always got to go last when you're, you know, helping out.
I understand
show.
That.
So,
for sure.
Absolutely.
You know, if at one of the other casting parties there's time, I mean, I'm sure I would do it. But
well, I look forward to you having yours done as well, because it's something I will definitely bid on to buy.
It'll be like a surprise plastering party.
There you go.
Laura.
Yes,
well,
a surprise.
Well, there'll definitely be one in L.A., so we'll come out for L.A. We were really hoping to come out. And again, you know, you mentioned sort of at the top that we are, you know, we haven't yet really, you know, made a push. We've been contacting people privately, you know, just because
mm-hmm.
we didn't want to lay the heavy pressure on too many people. But, you know, what we're basically encouraging people to do throughout the month of October is, if you already, you know, we're not pressuring people to raise money competitively, but more the sort of thing that if you're having a show for one night or throughout the month, if you feel comfortable doing it, sort of add a dollar to your ticket price and donate that dollar towards breast defense, and, you know, give it to Keep Abreast, because, you know, it's we know how
we
important
don't want
it is
them to
for
run
performers
out of,
to get paid.
We don't
know?
Want them to run out of plaster.
Yeah.
That's the thing.
But we also don't want performers to run out of, you know, pasty glue and, you know, crystals.
Absolutely.
So.
But if you think a couple bucks a week, and you know, that would be no different than if they said, oh, I'm going to make a donation this month of X amount of dollars out of my pocket. At least this
yeah.
way, it's not coming right out of their pocket, even though they may not make some money, but... It goes to a really good cause. And we're going to do it here at all five of the shows in October
wow,
at the Monday
awesome.
Night Tees. And then we're also going to do some donation solicitations as well, because we don't do a tip hat.
Wow.
A tip
excellent.
Pass. So we're going to do that as well to try to bring in as much money as we can.
And for the audience, you know, it's like you're going to go see, you know,
mm-hmm.
boobies, and then you
absolutely.
Get to save them at the same time.
And that's kind of what I'm going to do, is the Save the Boob Foundation donation
excellent.
Type thing. Because,
you just put a weird picture in my head of,
well,
like, boobs rising out of the ocean.
Well, yes, they're
Brooklyn,
going extinct.
Little Brooklyn made a really hilarious suggestion, which was, she was, you know, how like when you go to the bank or when you're at the checkout line and they're like, oh, do you want to buy a ribbon or a shoe? Like,
oh.
They hit you while you have your while you have your wallet open, and you're like, oh, okay, and then, you know, you write your name on it, and they stick, like, you know, your sneaker on the wall or your footprint or
is
your
she
ribbon.
Doing it?
She's gonna do boobs, I think. And I think, you know, I'm like, that's great if you can put them up. You know, I would love to be able. We're also gonna try to do, again, I say try to, because it's all about finding the time and the energy to do it, but to do.
She's brilliant. I love that idea.
We may put them online so people can cut them out and sell them at their shows.
That's what I was going to say, because I think that's something that, you know, nobody would mind
stealing. I think that would be absolutely
yeah.
fantastic, yes.
Well, it's funny because, you know, we also want to do something with the website where people could purchase, like, a little rack or boobs, you know, different colored pasties on them, and then we can do sort of like a rack of fame. sort of, so that people can make a donation in somebody's name. And anything that gets done during Breast Defense Month or Breast Awareness Month, you know, we will keep either, if there is a catalog in June of the show, but certainly in the program at the Miss Exotic World pageant and on the new website, because, you know, people do so much for us all year round, and, you know, there isn't much that we can do to give back, but we really try to acknowledge people whenever we can.
And you do. Well, and we appreciate that. I have to tell you, you guys do an incredible job over at the Burlesque Hall, and I hope that we can get Dixie on pretty soon to talk about this as well. You guys just do a fantastic job, and I am really looking forward to having another incredible event next year.
Well, I can't wait for you guys to come visit, because you'll see when you come out to Vegas, you know, the museum is now open. It's open every first Friday, the first weekend in June. I mean, the first weekend of every month. Whoops, Freudian slip. The first weekend of every month, and by appointment. And, you know, Dixie's doing tours, and we have a great temporary space. I mean, it's not the fantasy, but it's a great foothold. There's one room that, one area that's a series of rooms that looks very much like the old ranch, sort of wall-to-wall photos and memorabilia, and then we have one room that's all costumes and marquee posters, and it's really great.
How much of the collection do you think is out? Maybe 30% of it, 50%
of it? Oh, my God.
70%?
Can I tell you, since we've moved, the collection has grown so much, because know that, you know, where their stuff is going. So, I mean, it's really hard to say. I would say, I mean, like, conservatively, between in Dixie's personal house and in the space where the museum is, I would say less than 30, just because so much
Amazing.
Of it needs to be conserved.
Oh, I know.
But the stuff
that
can take display, you know, like, it's funny because actually Courtney from the Sissy Butch Brothers, who are a documentary film crew from Chicago who've been coming out for the past 5 years and the last 3 years out in Hallandale, was just coming through Vegas and came to visit over the weekend, and she got to see the space, and she was looking at all the stuff going, where did this come from? And I would tell her, like, oh, this was in that room and that was in that room, and she's like, I just didn't recognize it because, you know, things look different, like a lot of the dresses and everything is on the form, so there were a lot of outfits or pieces and things that were laid out in cabinets.
Yeah,
so
I remember.
It was sort of like so much for the eye to take in. So that was good for us because we're sort of so deep in it that it's hard to see the difference between, you know, what it was and what it is. But, I mean, you know, big ups to all the people who came up, you know, was it 2 years ago or, you know, when we were really packing up the collection. And I know, Lily, you were there.
An overnight operation.
I got to tell you, it was such an emotional experience. You have no idea. I mean, I kept it together pretty well, but I mean, I cried the entire way home thinking, I can't believe that I've touched all of these different pieces of history, because I mean, I have a good collection, but there are pieces in there that you just look at and you go, you couldn't find this to buy it if you wanted for your personal collection. And to know that it's in a space with so many other, it's just fantastic.
Well, and you know, to like Jay Furlonger and Don and Augusta and the Sissy Bush brothers and all the people who came out, I mean, like, the fact that every single, that we had a three-ring binder that, you know, when we wanted to put something out, we knew exactly what box to go to and everything, what, you know, there weren't any bugs in anything, you know, everything was wrapped in, you know, in like archival paper, and it was just, I mean, it was so nice to be able to, you know, it was to really be like, okay, we need this from this box, and, you know, to kind of find everything and be able to just, you know, cross it off the box and say where it was, and so that everything's still organized. I mean, one of the things that Luke could probably speak to this a lot better than I did, because he was there for the first 2 weeks. I was actually in New York. But one of the last things Dixie signed before the pod left Hallandale was a sign that somebody had made for a plexiglass sign that said Exotic World. And she wrote in Sharpie, see you in Las Vegas, you know, love Dixie, and kissed it, you know, with her lipstick. And it was a really emotional moment for a lot of us, for everybody who was there. I mean, I was just beside myself. And, you know, it's one of the first things that we unpacked. And she was, I guess, giving a tour on a Friday night. You know, and it's funny because in Hallandale, you know, outside of burlesque people and not counting Exotic World Weekend, she would get maybe 75 people a year coming through. And she easily gets out like a night now, you know, and she's doing tours. But she saw the sign up on the wall, and she was like, somebody, you know, defaced my sign. And Dixie, she was all pissed off. And she was like, Dixie, it's you. And she got up all close to it. She was like, "So it is," you know. And it was just so funny, you know. And then she remembered, and we all kind of, you know, they got, you know, weepy, and you know, it was just this whole thing. And as I was saying, when Courtney came out, she was like, "You know, I have to say, I wasn't sure we would ever see it again," you know. And it really meant a lot to us to see that and to be able to have more people see it, because it's a little bit weird that there. It seems, and maybe I'm wrong, but it seems like there are more people in the community who think of Exotic World as a Las Vegas thing than a Hallandale thing. And that's kind of strange to me.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, it's fine and it's great. And, you know, we're here and that's part of why we're here, so that more people can see it. But it's a little bit, you know what I mean? It's just a little bit strange.
I understand exactly. But, you know, it had to change in order to survive, and we're really happy that it is.
Yeah, for those of us who have been there at the old goat ranch, we'll always be able to look at some of these things and say, I remember exactly where that was back then, you know, because I had certainly been there enough. I know that, well, obviously you, Laura, but...
Yeah, Laura was there constantly. And again, I want to thank you personally and Luke personally for everything that you guys have done.
We need to have you both on.
To help Dixie, because that's something that a lot of people don't know. But I mean, you pretty much have adopted her like anyone would as a mother, and you've just made her go from a quality of life that was not the most pleasant thing in the world to, you know, just being healthy and happy and able to survive. And the museum wouldn't be surviving at all, really, I think, if it weren't for the two of you after Charlie passed away. So thank you personally from me.
Oh, well, you guys are sweet. But I mean, seriously, it's such a, you know, it's such a group effort. And
I understand that. And I'm not degrading anybody else by saying that. I just know that if it weren't for the two of you, nobody else was stepping up, and it was a big thing that you guys gave. I mean, you're now living in Las Vegas, so
it's pretty crazy. I'm sitting out here in my backyard looking at the stratosphere. At least once a day, I say to Luke, I can't believe we live here. It's just so weird.
It is.
Very strange. But it's, you know, we've been so lucky, and we've met so many people who have no experience ever background in burlesque, and they all get it and are so excited. And Dixie has a whole, you know, new network of kids who she loves, and it's really funny because her birthday was in late August, and we went out to one of her favorite honky tonks, and it was sort of like, you know, like three Marilyns and a couple of punk rockers, you know. Perfect, you know. It's definitely, you know, the best place for the first Marilyn Monroe impersonator to be is you know, the Elvis and Marilyn hub.
Absolutely.
Know?
Well, Laura, can we have you back on again?
For sure, and I know Luke would be love to be on, and he can tell you way more. He's the one who was out there for 6 months, and he was laying the groundwork out here. I kind of come in at the end, you know.
Yeah, well, you both do a lot of work. Both of us know it firsthand from seeing.
And I know Dixie's dying to talk to you guys, and
can't wait to have her on too. So.
Full of stories.
We'll have to have her for like a 7-part series.
Exactly. Yeah, I was talking about that. We still haven't covered Exotic World for this year, and it's gonna have to be like a 3-show.
Guys gonna broadcast from Teaserama? Are you both gonna be up there?
Yeah, I think we are.
We're gonna do some recording while we're up there as well.
Excellent.
So it'll be
there.
So all right, well, thank you very much.
My pleasure, and keep an eye if you guys are on the list. Either Miss Exotic World or Teaserama, or we'll certainly post if there's a possibility on Burlesque 411 with information on how to get involved in, you know, breast cancer awareness fundraising activities during the month of October. And the show isn't until June, so
we'll put something up on our MySpace page as well.
Excellent. Yep. Well, I will forward you guys our solicitation, and we're open to all kinds of improvements. But we were thinking small, and if there's one thing the burlesque community is, it's sort of, you know, unendingly creative. So
absolutely,
we definitely expect everybody to improve upon our sort of meager challenge, you know.
Yep.
And
well,
it's great.
I challenge everybody to, in October, if you're producing a show, make sure that part of those proceeds or a donation or something that you do will go to this foundation, because it's a good one. And it's at keep-a-breast.org. It's art, education, awareness, and action. You can find Laura over at the Exotic World community at their new name, which is burlesquehall.com. I think, does Exotic World still forward over, though?
Yep, it automatically redirects. So if you have any bookmarks, you'll redirect. And again, myspace.com/exoticworld and myspace.com/breastdefense. and you can grab our logos and stuff for any flyers. And, you know, we're really, really super excited about this project and showing sort of, you know, the mainstream, you know, breast cancer fundraising community how much the burlesque community can mobilize and how important it is mm-hmm. to include, you know, exotic dancers and other marginalized individuals in something that whenever somebody cares about something, that our money is as green as everybody else's.
All right. Well, thank you again for being on the show. And I'll be down in Vegas soon, so I'll be seeing you soon.
Excellent. Can't wait. Right. Take care, you guys. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. So there's a lot of shows going on here through the end of September. I know that I myself have a show with my sister.
Your sister.
Performing. My sister is coming in town from Bermuda, and she's going to be singing. My sister was in a band for 8 years, 9 years, something like that.
I don't know.
That was actually her second band. So anyway, she's going to be doing a number at my burlesque show on September 24th tonight. Silent Thomas is hosting, which I just love to say because he's not silent.
Oh.
He's hosting. I know that Vivian Vavoom is celebrating her birthday on September 27th in Denver. You can go to Naughty Pierre's Burlesque and hang out with her. Let's see what else is going on. I know Panty Raid is having a holiday or is having an event that weekend as well. And then we're looking forward to Teaserama on October 5th, 6th, and 7th in San Francisco. And don't forget, there's always the Texas Burlesque Festival as well, which we haven't talked about at all, which is going on October 12th and 13th. And you can get information about Teaserama at teaserama.com and the Texas Burlesque Festival at texasburlesquefest.com.
And feel free to come up to either of us if you like the show. If you don't,
and
find somebody
else
to talk to. And
thank you for the nice words. I have gotten so many nice emails and comments from people. So I just
Same here.
Want to say thank
I'm
you.
Very
and
happy.
Send us requests on MySpace if there are people you want to hear us interview or if anything.
If you want to be on the show, maybe we'll talk. Because we're already talking about you. May as well have you on the
Absolutely.
Show. Defend yourself.
Absolutely.
Come on.
So,
step up.
We're going to say goodbye for now. We'll talk to you next week. And, you know, support the boobies.
I like them.